Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. What a joy and privilege it is to come together as your children and to sing praises to you. What a joy it is to know that you are the one true living God and you have provided salvation in your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. To not only celebrate his incarnation, but we come and we celebrate the fact that he lived a perfect and sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, and all who place their faith and trust in Christ will be saved. And the hope, the comfort, the fact that you are coming again. And one day, our sanctification will be over, and our glorification. Will be complete, and we will be with you. Father, give us ears to hear your word this morning. May our hearts and our minds focus upon who you are and what you have already accomplished. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would stand with me, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It's been a month since I've been behind this pulpit. It's good to be back. Our trip to China was wonderful. And then when we got back, we had the passing of my wife's father. So thank you for your prayers and comfort and all that with the family. She was really torn that she could not be here this morning. Kobe got sick. And so, Lord willing, we'll all be here tonight. And so, let us be reminded that as we're standing, not because I'm up here, we're standing because we're going to read God's holy word. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So this morning we continue to rest our minds and hearts in the good news of Jesus Christ. We rest in this simple and yet also the greatest story ever told. And when I say story, I mean true story. God leaving the glories of heaven and coming to earth and putting on flesh. We rest in God making a way for sinners to be reconciled to himself. We rest in hope. We rest in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 14 reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Last week we looked at the amazing details which surrounded his coming. Mary with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph being a just man, wanting to end the engagement quietly, not wanting to shame Mary. An angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream, telling him not to fear taking Mary as your wife. The angel informing Joseph that Mary is still a virgin, yet she is with child by the Holy Spirit, a child which y'all will raise and name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Can you imagine being Joseph and being told that this child, which you viewed as a serious problem, is in fact the greatest news? That this child is the Savior, the Messiah, the one who will make all things right. And on top of all that, being Joseph, you and Mary will be Jesus' earthly parents. We also saw the fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. As I thought more about those words this past week, I have a question for you this morning. Do these words bring you comfort? God with us. In the Old Testament, these words took fear away from his people. Out of Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." God is good and gracious. He is with his people. He is no longer walking with us. He is in us. We are never alone. Christ told his disciples in Matthew 28 that he will be with them to the end of the age. In the reading of the incarnation in Scripture, we see clearly that God is omniscient and God is omnipotent. And contrary to the minds of those who do not believe, the Lord's sovereign hand is never absent from this life. Even in our trials, even in our sufferings today, he is working his divine will for his glory and for the good of his children. What the Lord says will pass, and we as his children are to trust him and to obey. So in these 12 verses today, let us rest in the greatest story that is ever told. Let us listen with our hearts and minds so that we are not only ready to preach the gospel to ourselves, but we are ready to share the gospel with others. In Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1, we see wise men. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" We see in the account of Matthew the tax collector that he does not give many details into the birth of Christ. No discussion of the inn or the shepherds, for he is writing to a Jewish audience informing them that Jesus Christ is the long-awaited Savior, the Messiah, the King, and he keeps this focus throughout his gospel. Jesus was born in the days of Herod the king, and when he was, wise men from the east, they came to Jerusalem in search for Jesus, the king of the Jews. These wise men were from the east. Some believe it was Palestine. For centuries, wise men had been a tribe of priests in Persia, but over time, the term wise men came to be known as a title for astrologers or court advisors. Now, this is what we do know. These Gentile men traveled a far distance. Most likely, it was over 800 miles. And they came to worship the King of the Jews, the child that had been born. They brought gifts, and they had knowledge that this child was the King of the Jews, a title not used again in this gospel until the crucifixion of Christ. Above the cross of Christ, there was a sign that read, "This is the King of the Jews." D.A. Carson notes, "The kingly status of Jesus was not conferred on him later on. It was his from birth." Jesus Christ came into this world humbly, but make no mistake, he is king. These wise men were men who desired to see the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, face to face, and they traveled to worship him. These wise men, they were not distant observers, but active participators who worshiped the Son of God. It is appropriate for us to stop and ask some basic questions concerning our present life. Why are we here this morning? Are we here to worship the Lord? Are we here to praise the one who has redeemed us? These wise men modeled for us what we are to be doing with our life. We are to worship the Lord. Through our trials, we worship. Through our suffering, we worship. Through the good times, we worship the Lord. Our greatest longing today as the gathered body should be to worship Him. This is to be our life and our devotion. Yes, we have the privilege of fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. But our life, our primary purpose this morning is to worship the Lord. To sit under the reading of His Word, the preaching of His Word, to sing songs, hymns and spiritual songs. But all glory be to Christ is to not only be today, it is to be every day. It is to be our life. Are you here to worship the Lord? Are you worshiping Him right now with your mind and your affections? Because there's a stark contrast between the wise men in this passage and with Herod. Look with me at verse 3. It says, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." When these wise men came inquiring about the child in Jerusalem, they made no small commotion. All of Jerusalem and Herod, they were troubled by them asking of the birth of this king that they were in search of. The wise men wanted to worship the child, but Herod was troubled over this king and the impact that it could have on his reign. Herod was struck with fear. He assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" They looked at the Old Testament scriptures, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That was the answer. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. If this was true, there was a legitimate heir and rival to the throne of David. This would cause many problems for Herod, including the possibility of the end of him being king. So what does Herod do? Verse 7. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Herod was deeply concerned for his life and his present kingdom, so he quickly gathered the wise men in secret to determine the timetable of all the events. If Herod could pinpoint an approximate day and time of the king's birth, he could devise a secret plan to kill this child. So the wise men gave Herod the time, and he tells them the place, and he sent them to Bethlehem. "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Herod did a wonderful job of painting a beautiful picture of deceit for these wise men. He had learned all that he needed for his plan. Herod had no intention of worshiping Christ. He wanted to kill him. He wanted all the power for himself. Historically speaking, we know much about Herod. History has it, Herod killed his wife's brother, followed by his wife, and two, possibly three of his own sons because he was so self-consumed and power-hungry. Even before Herod's own death, he knew that no one would mourn for him because they all recognized his selfishness. So he had faithful citizens arrested and ordered to be put to death the day that he died, so that there would be mourning among the people on the day that he died. Herod, he had a great plan. And when he realized the wise men were not going to return and give him any news, he carried out his plan with the hope of saving his throne. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, we read, "Then Herod, when he saw he'd been tricked by the wise men, he became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all the region that were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been ascertained from the wise men. This was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more." Herod was so concerned for himself that he ordered the death of all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. There are some things in Scripture you read and you can quickly pass over because our minds are so dull. There's some things in Scriptures you read and you just cannot even imagine what that would have been like. To have men come into the homes of all the families in Bethlehem and to kill all the male children 2 years old and under. But yet, Old Testament Scriptures were fulfilled when the killing of these children took place. Herod had no intention of worshiping the Son of God. He had every intention of killing him and saving himself. And this is honestly what we see today. People hate the Lord or they worship him. People hate the Lord or they worship him. Let us keep in mind that Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience to convey that Gentiles came and worshiped the King of the Jews while the Jews did not. And as students of God's Word, we need to remember this so that we don't let all the small details in this true story overshadow the main truth. When many people get to Matthew chapter 2, they start asking lots and lots of questions. The number of wise men, the length of the journey, the question about the star, how could this be? The answers to these questions do not give support to the main theme. God came to earth. The long-awaited Messiah was here. These wise men came from the east to Jerusalem because they saw the star and they stopped in Jerusalem, a natural place for a king to be born. But after asking around, they were in the wrong place. And as they departed for Bethlehem, the star led them once again. In verse 9, we see after listening to the king, these wise men, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So when these wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were greatly glad and joyful. The star had brought them to the location of the Messiah, the King of the Jews, to be in the presence of the Messiah, to finally arrive at the home of the one who would save them from their sins, who would make all things right again. In verse 11a, it says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him." These wise men did not arrive on the night of the Messiah putting on flesh in the manger, but sometime before Jesus was 2 years of age. The wise men went into the house, they saw Jesus, and they fell down and they worshipped him. The wise men's journey was complete. They saw the star. They left their homes and arrived in search of the child for one purpose, according to verse 2. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. They left their homes to worship the Messiah. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when they saw the star. And now as they stood in the home of the Messiah, the anointed one, the King of the Jews, they fell on the ground and they worshiped. This was not casual worship. They fell on the ground and they worshiped the child. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. These wise men, they traveled a great distance, but they did not come empty-handed. They brought gifts from the Messiah. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts of the land that these wise men had. Gold. This was a gift for royalty. As one commentator put it, the king of metals. Fitting only for a king. These wise men acknowledge this child was the king. Frankincense. This is a beautiful smelling incense. It was daily used by priests in the temple. A gift for the ultimate divine priest. A gift for deity. And myrrh. A valued spice and perfume. Used also for embalming the dead. A gift for burial. The Savior who came to die was fully God and fully man. He freely laid down his life in obedience to God the Father so that we might live. Now, as we read through this story that most of us are familiar with year after year, you know, the ultimate truth of the story that captured my heart this week was that these wise men were led by the Lord and they traveled a long distance. And they did not give up in their search. And when they arrived, they worshiped the Messiah who was a child. They fell to the ground and worshiped him. And the truth that really stuck out to me is what had already happened so far. I mean, Jesus had not yet taught as one with authority. Jesus had not yet turned water into wine. He had not healed the sick, the blind, or the paralytic. He had not calmed the storm. He had not walked on water or healed the demon-possessed man. He had not raised Lazarus from the dead. He had not died on the cross and rose from the grave. None of this had happened, and yet these wise men were in the home of Joseph and Mary on the ground worshiping Christ. With all that I know, and with all that these men did not know, I read this passage and I'm often ashamed. I read this passage, I think of how much sacrifice, how much effort, leaving their families, leaving their town, traveling to do one thing, to worship Jesus Christ. And so often, all that I know, all my theology does not lead to application. I get caught up in the things of this world. I'm so guilty. Often my knowledge fails to bring about worshiping the one true King. That I have a relationship with the one who put on flesh, the Messiah, and I know that I do, and I fail to worship him. So I ask you this morning, dear saint, are you worshiping the Lord? In your reading and your studying of Scripture, are you worshiping the Lord? In your living, are you worshiping the Lord? As you gather together with the body on Sunday, are you worshiping the Lord? If you're here this morning and you're not a worshiper of God, I call you to trust in Christ. I call you to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to repent, and to believe in Christ for salvation. This child that the wise men traveled to worship was the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. His payment for sin on the cross is the only hope for your life. Because he is not dead, he is alive. He is risen from the dead. And a theme that we see in Matthew 2, which is all throughout Scripture, is that God's will is being accomplished. His sovereign hand is accomplishing His will. Herod had his plan. God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back. Herod ordered the male babies to be killed. Christ was not killed. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to save sinners. He freely laid down His life on the cross, making complete payment for those who trust in Christ, drinking completely the wrath of God, and on the third day He rose from the dead. Jesus Christ alone makes you right with God. Christ alone is the Messiah. And so I command you today, if you've never turned from your sins, you've never repented, you've never trusted in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, that you would do that today. Because the beautiful thing is that many people don't understand is that Christmas, we're not just celebrating the birth of Christ, where God came to earth and put on flesh. We're also acknowledging what Christ did, how He lived, the fact that He's no longer on that cross, the fact that He has risen from the dead, the fact that He ascended into heaven, where He sits right now at the right hand of God the Father with all power and all authority. And our hope is in that Christ. Our hope is in the fact that He is coming again. But when He comes again, He's not going to come humbly. When He comes again, it'll be over. Picture the Scripture paints is one of a warrior riding on a horse coming into battle, and his robes are splattered with blood because it's judgment. And the only unforgivable sin is for the one person who does not place his faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. It's unforgivable. But there's still time. There's still time. And the one thing that I've really been pondering about much and reflecting on is that you and I don't know when that time's going to be up. We have no idea. Scripture says our life is but a vapor. We're here 1 second and we're gone the next. And what we do in this life, it matters. But ultimately, the most important thing that matters is, what is it that you believe about God? You see the story that unfolds in Matthew chapter 2. The reason that for over 2,000 years people continue to gather together and to sit under the preaching of God's word, continue to read this book, continue to memorize the Scripture, is because it is alive. Every word in this book is God-breathed. Every word in this book is what men and women are supposed to be living on and obeying and has authority over our lives. So when I ask you the question earlier, and I've been asking myself all week, looking at these wise men and how they came and they traveled, and all they wanted to do was worship the child who had not yet done all the marvelous things that pointed to the fact that He is God. I ask you this morning, are you worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? So easily we can get caught up in our emotions. We can get caught up in going through the motions. We can get caught up in just having a quiet time or not having a quiet time, or praying or actually not praying and just saying stuff, having no idea what our minds are doing. Are you worshiping the one true living God? Because one thing I know, it would be a tragedy to get through today. It'd be a tragedy to get through the rest of this month without worshiping Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for this morning. Father, these wise men We know that you led them by your power. And they came and they worshiped your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, and we know today that that is our calling. That is our command to worship you. Father, I pray that we would do that, not just in this place when we gather together, but our life would be a pleasing aroma for you. Father, we're reminded of who you are, your greatness, your righteousness, your holiness. And we're reminded of who we are. The very fact that you sent your Son to this earth is a very truth that we needed a Savior. That left to our own, we are hopeless, but you have provided salvation in Christ. But even as your children, we are still in need of you. Father, we need your word. We need wisdom from you. You call us to pray, to seek your face, to read your word, to obey your commands. Father, you are not just what we need every day. The truth is, you are really all that we have. You are everything. So, Father, the rest of today, the rest of this week, when we're around family and friends, and Lord willing, as we gather tonight and your word is being read, we would worship you. Father, may the upcoming days and we be more devoted to you than we ever have in our life. More committed to who you are, more devoted to abiding in your word and applying your word to our life. Of being a light to this world. Father, we come to you not in our own strength, but in the strength of you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. I'd ask you to take the next few moments. You would meet with the Lord. This is our time where you reflect upon God's word and you talk to the Lord. And as always, if you have any questions about the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have questions about salvation, if you're doubting your own salvation, or if you need to talk to somebody, please talk with somebody before you leave. I will be available. But spend some time with the Lord right now. Examine your life. Make sure you are truly worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because there is no baby in the manger. He's at the right hand of God the Father with all power and all authority, and his will is being accomplished.